Morning, everybody. Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be talking about people who collect weird stuff and weird collections. We'll do another, and we will do another edition of Esmeralda. Would Esmeralda buy that? And we got a Blackhawks Express. But my first guest, I'd like to welcome to the show, a friend of mine. His name is Dmitry Samarov. He's a writer. He's an artist. Wrote a couple of books about his adventures driving a cab here in Chicago and in Boston. And he just comes in to talk about the stuff that he's been writing for the Reader. He's got some shows coming up, and we always like to catch up with Dmitry. Dmitry, welcome back.
Thanks, Nick.
How are you?
Good to be back.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
All right.
Good. So I understand now that you're actually you're working at one, like, your favorite neighborhood saloon.
I am. Bernice's Tavern at basically 33rd and Halsted.
33rd and Halsted
in Bridgeport.
In Bridgeport. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about a block from my house. And just a couple weeks ago, I started working there.
So that's convenient. Block away from your house.
Helping Steve out. Steve is a proprietor.
You were telling me off the air that Steve is a guy who collects stuff, too.
He does. He might be listening. He may actually call in. I told him he should call in. Mm-hmm. And he could tell you what he collects. There's toys, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
He's also an artist. He's a great guy to work for.
Well, that's cool.
He's a friend.
That's cool.
He was kind enough to give me a ride down here, too.
Oh, that's nice.
I was just working there tonight.
You were just working there tonight. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. It's nice when you can actually, like, when I was working at Simon's, I only lived like 5 blocks away from mm-hmm. Simon's at the time. It's nice to be able to maybe, you know, work at your favorite place to hang out at.
My other job now is at the Skylark, which is a whole mile away from my house.
Do you leave Bridgeport anymore?
I every once in a while.
Yeah.
I have other stuff I have to go to other neighborhoods for, but it's sort of a field trip. I mean, because I don't have a car.
Yeah.
So it's all CTA or my bike.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more and more that I'm sort of part of that neighborhood.
How long have you lived there now?
2 years.
Now
almost 2 years.
You lived where before? Well, you were a South Side. You've lived on the South Side most of the time you've been here, right?
Yeah. I haven't lived on the North Side since 2004.
Mm.
That's when I started. I moved first to 24th and Western, which is sort of between Pilsen and Little Village.
Right.
It's a little neighborhood called Heart of Chicago, which not a lot of people know about.
How did it get the name Heart of Chicago? Do you know?
I'm sure it's a neighborhood association. It's one of these. It's an old Little Italy, actually. It's older than the one on Taylor.
Is that right?
Yeah. And there's a couple of social clubs and real old school, like, Red Sauce Italian-American restaurants over there.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You didn't? On Oakley, like around Oakley and 24th and 25th Street.
Yeah.
You should check them out. There's Bruna's, there's Ignaz, there's Il Vicinato, and La Fontanella.
Yeah. You know what? And this is
really, really
this is,
old school.
It's
places.
My own fault. I don't get to the South Side very often. I've been a North Sider my whole life.
Yeah, prejudice.
And I don't even know. I don't have a car either, you know. But I didn't.
Western bus will get you there.
Western bus, yeah.
The Pink Line stops within a couple of blocks of there.
Okay.
But that was a cool neighborhood. I lived over there for about 7 years. Then I moved further south to Beverly.
Right.
Which is about as far south as you
that
can go.
That is about as far south as you can go.
And then a couple of years ago, I moved back north. First time in my Chicago life that I've moved north. Ever.
You just kept moving south.
Yeah. And then first apartment was in Edgewater.
Okay.
And then Logan Square, then Wicker Park, then Heart of Chicago, then Beverly.
And now you move back up.
Yeah, because there's no
Bridgeport.
More south to go.
Have you ever been to, because we mentioned Beverly.
Yes. Horse Thief Hollow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It actually opened when I was living there. It's a brew pub. It's a cool place.
Yeah, that's where they're going to be. That's where they're going to be Friday. Bill and Wendy and Steve Bertrand are doing
the
show from there.
Actually, yeah, a few non-meathead bar restaurants on that strip. Well, the thing, Beverly's weird because there are actually blue laws that prohibit bars in Beverly proper, pretty much.
Oh, so it's dry? Beverly is dry?
And it has been. They've tried to overturn it for decades, and they can't for some reason. Yeah. It's a unique neighborhood that way. So all the bars are on the west side of Western Avenue.
And
they're all Irish bars, like the Cork and Kerry, all these obnoxious, like, quote-unquote Irish bars.
Right.
And, you know, the kinds of places that wish ill of Cub fans and all that.
I've seen,
you saw the news stories.
Yes, I have.
Those bars. But Horse Thief Hollow is not one of those bars.
Horse Thief Hollow, is at 104th and Western. Mm-hmm. And again, I just want to remind everybody, the Hometown Voices with Bill and Wendy and Bertrand is going to be this Friday from noon to 3 at what we were speaking of, the Horse Thief Hollow.
Right, and I actually, Neil Byers, who's one of the owners there, guy that started it, I did some artwork for him. I think I did a design for his wedding or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some other stuff I was going to do, and which didn't quite pan out, but he was a really nice guy. And, I hear very good beer. I'm not a beer guy, but I hear it's good beer and good pub food.
Okay.
It's a cool place.
And you get a chance to win some tickets to Chicago Theater, including Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the musical, and Brian
now
Regan.
Now that I think of it. So the coffee shop I used to work at that's no longer in business in Beverly, called Hard Boiled Coffee, the guy that owned that, he actually brews his beans at Horse Thief Hollow now.
Is that right?
And sells them wholesale, yeah.
Oh, so they're on sale. You can get the coffee there at Horse
Thief.
You
can, and at a couple of stores in the neighborhood.
Oh,
yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. All right, and that's the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented by Allstate Chicago's own Good Hands. So Dimitri recommends the Horse Thief Hollow.
Yes.
All right. So you've been keeping busy?
Yeah, trying to. I mean, some of my sort of freelance gigs have been drying up lately, but which is one of the reasons I've taken on more of the bar work.
Yeah.
I've got art shows up all over the place, more coming up.
Good. Well, we'll talk about that for sure. We'll talk about that as we come along. And you wrote a couple of pieces about a Rembrandt that you found.
At the thrift store
In Bridgeport.
We'll talk about that.
And then you also did a review of the Master's Drawings Unveiled exhibit that's at the Art Institute. You wrote about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. And you've got shows coming up. Right now, though, through December, you've got the portrait show at Rogers Park Social,
mm-hmm.
which is at 6920 North Glenwood. How many pieces are in there?
Boy, there's a lot. It's all portraits. There's a lot of little sketched ones of writers, some famous, some not so famous, but probably, I don't know, 30 pieces,
mm-hmm.
maybe more.
And Rogers Park Social, tell me about that place.
It's a craft cocktail place, mm-hmm. and it used to be a bar called Duke's.
Oh!
Which you would know.
Yes!
I think we discussed
this. Yes!
My pal Bill Savage says is the last place that he was propositioned in, a tavern in public. But it is not that bar anymore.
Right by the L tracks.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I've spent a lot of time at Duke's.
It's been all refurbished. It's owned by two very lovely gay guys, and they serve fancy cocktails.
You would never
which are pretty affordable.
You would never have thought about that 20 years ago.
No.
No.
Yeah, that would Rogers be Rogers Park is getting like a craft cocktail.
Yeah, Duke's was a pretty legendary place, man. I mean, we've all, you and I have been to many dive bars, and you and I have both worked at dive bars.
Yes.
And Duke's was was the quintessential dive bar.
Yeah, I get into this debate a lot, actually, at the Skylark, where I now work, and there are people that think it's a dive bar, and it isn't. And to me, a dive bar, it's always got this negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
Because I've never risen high enough in the economic ladder to go slumming at bars.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that call places like Skylark dive bars are
Skylark. I've been there once a long time ago.
Skylark it's a really nice neighborhood bar. There are no TVs. It's got a lot of old stuff in it.
Yeah.
It serve really good food and craft beers.
Yeah.
It's not a dive bar.
But everybody check out the Rogers Park Social, 6920 North Glenwood, a really cool place. And your portrait show is there through December.
Yeah, through the end of the year.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break here. Dmitry Samarov is with us. We got his link, his Facebook linked up on our website linked up on our Facebook page. I know you're not on Facebook. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk more with Dmitry right here on 720 WGN. News is next. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. Wildcard Wednesday. You program it. We're going to be talking about weird collections that people have. And Esmeralda buy that. Let's see if it's would Esmeralda. No, it doesn't work. Still not working. We had engineers in here. We made phone calls. And still, no reverb.
The death of reverb.
Oh no, that can't happen. within the next 22 hours,
we're going to go on strike. I'm telling you right now.
Next 22 hours, this will be resolved. It has to be resolved,
or heads will roll.
I have no personality without that thing. So, what would Dan? You tried something?
Yeah.
Okay. We're still trying to figure out what's going on here. You're doing all kinds of technical stuff that I don't even understand.
Just roll up a piece of paper.
It's not going to be the same as Esmeralda rolling up a piece. All right, here, let me try that. Here we go. I'm going to roll up a piece of paper.
Would Esmeralda buy that?
See? Same thing.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah, no expense. How you doing, Dimitri?
I'm doing great.
Okay, good. Great. Welcome back, my friend. Yeah. you also have a... now what are we trying? We trying this again? All right. Hello. No. Okay. Can we make a note to make sure that this gets like looked at or something? We trying that? Hello. Nope. We've tried pressing every button. We've made phone calls, everything, trying to get the reverb to come back on, but we'll have to wait for it. We'll get it back on tomorrow. Dimitri, you have another show that is currently running at Gold Star?
Yeah, Gold Star. A bunch of oil paintings, some cityscapes, some bookshelf paintings. Mm-hmm. I got that show because I work with a guy at the Skylark who also bartends at the Gold Star.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. It's the Gold Star is in Ukrainian Village,
yes.
Kind of Wicker Park. You know, classic old bar somehow has survived the vast changes in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only one of the only bars on that strip that's not an obnoxious sports bar or a store for people with strollers or
I mean, I haven't been there in a long time.
I haven't been
to a bar in a year and a half, but
right.
But you know, like Gold Star is a terrific place, and they've done your shows many times.
No, that's Rainbow.
Oh, Rainbow, right, Rainbow.
That's the reason I never hung out at Gold Star, really, is because I was hung out at Rainbow.
Gold Star, We used to go to Gold Star almost every Saturday night at when we were. I was in a play called Among the Dead.
Was it the
and it was
Pan,
it was or? At the Showpen, yeah,
right.
and that's
a couple of blocks.
We were because that was the best bar to go to, and it was cheap as hell too.
Yeah.
I remember they had dollar schlitz at that place.
Yeah.
Star's a great. So your show is running there through the end of the year.
Yeah, I had some stuff there for probably another couple of months.
Okay.
They were kind of vague about it, but which is great because get some eyeballs on the stuff. It's mm-hmm. better than sitting in my closet.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Now, how often do you work, Dimitri? Like, do you try and paint every day? Do you try to do sketches or anything painted?
I try to do something at least. It varies. It depends on what other stuff I've got going on. I have to frame stuff. I've got to prepare stuff for other shows.
Mm-hmm.
Write things. Work in bars.
Right. Well,
there's other things going on.
You just mentioned that you have to frame things.
Yeah.
And that brings me to one of the stories that you wrote in The Reader.
Yes.
About how you tell it's a unique thrift shop.
Unique, yeah. It's a chain. There's a bunch of uniques. I think there's some on the north side.
Uh-huh.
It's like Salvation Army. It's like one of those. I don't know if it's related to church faith-based or I'm not sure. I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going. It's the one in my neighborhood. It's at about 30th and Halstead. And I've been going there a lot, looking for frames that I reuse to put my artwork in.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot cheaper than framing stuff, which is really expensive.
Yeah. Sure, that makes sense. Yeah. In terms of frames, do you find good frames?
Yeah, they're really good frames with usually very crappy artwork in it.
Right.
Or really weird artwork.
Yeah.
Very odd. There's very odd stuff. But so on one of my frequent trips there, I stumbled on this print and I looked at it and it was a Rembrandt.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it home. I popped it out of the frame.
Well, first of all, how much did you pay for it? Tell everybody how much you paid for it.
It was $4.97, but I think it was half off day or
right.
something.
It says here
about $3.
You said you paid $2.74 tax included.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it says.
It was a few months ago at this point, but yeah. So I was willing to take that risk.
Sure.
But I popped it out of the frame, and you know, I went to art school. I studied art for a long time, so I knew that it wasn't a real Rembrandt,
right.
quote unquote, but I popped it out and I wanted to see if it wasn't like a color, you know, a fancy copy. And it wasn't, it was certainly a print, but I knew it wasn't a Rembrandt because in the era of Rembrandt, people didn't sign Rembrandt with a pencil below it.
Right.
That's a practice that went into effect sometime in the 19th century, mm-hmm. where people would sign in number prints the way that prints are.
Right.
Or like, you know, limited edition posters are signed that way.
Right.
But that was a much later practice. But it got me curious to see where this thing came from. There was a stamp on the back with a print shop from Rotterdam, Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really curious about it, and so I called up a friend of mine who is a curator at the Art Institute in the print and drawing department.
I read the piece,
yeah.
And it's almost like you guys were like decoding a mystery.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like you were looking around to find these.
Well, sure, it's like that kind of Antiques Roadshow,
right.
Whatever Pawn Stars
right.
kind of moment.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew I wasn't going to get rich on this thing, but I wanted to know when it was from, and we pretty much ascertained it was probably somewhere from the mid-20th century,
mm-hmm.
made for, like, the tourist trade. It's basically like a that era's fancy version of a poster. Like, if you go to
like a poster of a print. Like
yeah,
a poster
yeah,
of
if
a,
you go I mean, to yeah. the Art Institute gift shop and you get one of those really nice prints.
Yeah.
Somebody actually made a print, made an etching on their own plate and, you know, faked a signature on mm-hmm. there. And it'd be something,
now,
a souvenir to take
your, home. Your friend, what's your friend's name again?
Mark Pascal.
Mark Pascal.
Yeah.
He did find another print of the same painting.
Yeah, they have it in a real one in their collection. Yeah, they
And then
have
you guys
one.
Compared the two?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, one of the, just there was like line quality, all this technical stuff where you could tell. I knew right away it wasn't from the era of Rembrandt because the paper didn't look right.
Mm.
There's a kind of paper, the kind of paper that it was on just wasn't made back then. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But also, there's an extra mark where they made another plate, etching plate. That they copied from so it wasn't from the original plate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of giveaways.
Yeah, you know? But also interesting, you know, the whole like mystery that you guys were kind of unraveling, trying mm-hmm. to figure out where this came from. That's a great piece. That's a great part of the piece that you wrote. But also, like, you really started to think about what are paintings really worth? What
sure.
is this work really worth?
Yeah, I mean that's a question that obviously concerns me and vexes me all the time because I sell artwork.
Right.
And my conclusion always is it's whatever you can get for it, basically, at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what any of it is actually worth in some ultimate way.
Yeah.
It fluctuates according to whatever market is set.
I also like in the piece that you talk about how it's interesting to find whatever art you find whatever artist, let's say you find it in a thrift shop, mm-hmm. that you know that it's been through an
yeah.
entire life.
Yeah, I haven't. It's actually one of my weird dreams is to find one of my pieces of art in a thrift store.
Yeah,
because it means that it has gone through the whole entire sort of digestive system of the culture.
Yeah,
like, and it's been spit out the other end because. Either somebody didn't want it anymore, or more likely somebody died, or something happened where it was abandoned.
Yeah,
I've actually my friend Steve from Bernice's found a copy of Hack, my first book, at that same thrift store.
You're kidding!
And I was so happy about it.
No, you're kidding.
He didn't have the dust jacket on, but he showed it to me, and just like the week before, I always look for him. I always look for him, but
what did he pay for Hack? Did he tell you?
He didn't tell me. But all the books at the thrift store are like $1 or $2
yeah.
or something. Yeah,
that's great. So you felt good about that?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, because somebody read it and like then it passed on.
Yeah,
like it went through the whole culture.
Yeah. Well, by the way, before we break here, we did. You just mentioned Hack. For mm-hmm. people who might not know, you've written two books about the time that you spent driving
mm-hmm.
Cabs, both here in Chicago for many years and in Boston.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about those books and if they can still get them.
They're sort of illustrated work memoirs is the way I try to describe them. They're all composed of episodes from my time as a cab driver with illustrations, all nonfiction. I didn't have to make anything up.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one's called Hacks, Stories from a Chicago Cab. The second is Where To, A Hack Memoir, which came out 3 years later.
And they're both great.
Thank you.
I mean, I really love
available
them.
In all the places that you can buy books.
That's right. Basically. And they're all available. And if you're a fan of the show, Dimitri wrote about me in a second book.
Yeah. And yeah, if you want to sign, if you want a signed copy or something, you can go to my website. I sell them myself for slightly more than like you'd pay on Amazon or something.
Right.
But I'll sign it for you.
He'll sign it for you.
I'll write whatever message you want in there.
And they're great books. I mean, they really are. And everything in it is true. And, you know, I knew you for several years while you were driving a cab.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get in your cab, and you would tell me some fantastic stories. And then eventually most of them ended up in those two books.
Yes. Yeah, a good amount of them did.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. And they're illustrated, too, so you can see your illustrations.
Yeah, if you get tired of reading, there's pictures.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so both of those books are available. You can go to DmitriSamarov.com to get all the information. Take a look at his artwork, buy his art, get his books, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more to Dimitri. He's got some events coming up that we're going to talk about, and you went to go see an exhibit at the Art Institute
mm-hmm.
That you reviewed for the Reader, and we'll talk about that as well. All right, all of that and more, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Get your Wildcard Wednesday requests in as well. All right. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. And my hero, Steve Cochran is off this morning. It's Pete McMurray coming back to WGN here. Pete McMurray doing some fill-ins for Steve Cochran. I think he's filling in all of next week, right, Dan?
I believe that is the case.
Okay. All right. So welcome Pete back this morning. He'll start at 6 o'clock. My guest right now is Dimitri Samarov. Welcome back, Dimitri.
Thank you.
So you've got a couple of events that we wanted to talk about. December 9th, Some Dance, Some Don't.
Oh, yeah. That's an art show I'm going to put up in Pilsen, which is part of Second Fridays, where they have, you know, openings all over that street in the kind of arts district of Pilsen
mm-hmm.
by 18th and Halsted.
Right.
All around that. And it's taking place in my friend Wendy Clenard's dance studio, which is at 1833 South.
Yeah,
South
that's Halsted? What it says here. 1833 yeah. South Halsted.
Right,
Clenard Dance.
She's a flamenco dancer, and she teaches there, and that's her studio. So, one wall of the storefront is bare white, and I'm going to put paintings and drawings, some of which I did sketches of the dancers practicing. And
oh,
stuff
cool.
like that. But then,
and that's just one night only.
It'll be up for probably a week, but that's the night to see.
That's
it.
The night to so that's
that's when it's open. The rest of the time, it's a working dance studio.
I see.
And I think she's going to have some performances that night as well. So
some dance, some don't. It's an art show
mm-hmm.
at Clenard Dance, 1833 South Halsted. That's on December 9th.
Yeah.
And by the way, I hadn't been to Pilsen in a really long time. One of my friends used to live in Pilsen, so we would go there a lot. But I went a few months ago.
You did?
I went to Talia Hall to see John Carpenter.
Oh, yeah. How
which
was that?
Phenomenal.
Was it?
It was so good.
It's a cool place to see a show.
It's a great. I'd never been there before.
Talia Hall, yeah.
And the barbecue place on the corner when you're waiting around the corner.
Honky Tonk?
Oh, man.
Honky Tonk's a good one. Yeah. That's been there for a while.
Yeah.
It's sort of expanded. They have a bar now, but it started as like a carryout place, and then it slowly took over more and more.
Yeah. While we were waiting in line to get in to see Carpenter, we got the candied bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway. But that area was – it just reminded me of how cool that area was. It's been years since I was down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
– they've built a lot of stuff up in
yeah.
there.
Yeah. All right. Now, what about this? January 3rd, a triumphant return to the live lit stage at Tuesday Funk.
Tuesday Funk at the Hop Leaf.
Mm-hmm.
It's this monthly reading series upstairs in the little event room at Hop Leaf. I'm sure you're familiar with, like, yeah.
Yeah, I've been.
It's a tiny little room up like on the third floor.
I did a thing with the drinking and writing guys up there.
Oh, okay.
We did a thing, you know.
Yeah.
With,
it's a really this Tuesday Funk's been going, I don't know.
Years.
Five, 10 years,
yeah.
Something, for a while.
Yeah.
And I've read at it a couple of times, and my friend Andrew Huff, who used to run Gaper's Block, which
sure.
no longer exists,
right.
but he hosts that.
And that's at Hopleaf, is it like Clark and Foster?
Yeah.
Basically at Clark and Foster. It's south of Foster.
Yeah, and I'll probably be – and I've been –
Now, what are you going to be reading?
I've been staying away from these reading things, but I got asked, so I'm going. Probably something from this sort of childhood memoir book that I'm still trying to find a publisher for.
Did you finish it?
A draft. Yeah. A draft's been done for about a year.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it's just been a slog finding somebody to put the thing out.
And what's it about?
It's basically about my family coming to America. So it starts in the late 70s and goes through art school.
Okay.
Like 77 to 93.
77 to 93. And it's about you coming back from?
Coming from the Soviet Union. To the Boston area and then eventually getting into art, going to art school.
So you can hear a reading from that, the triumphant return to the live lit stage. Tuesday Funk.
That's I'm being facetious.
I understand. That's January 3rd. And that's at the Hop Leaf on Clark.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, before we let you get out of here, tell us about the Master Drawings Unveiled exhibit at the Art Institute that you wrote about in the Reader.
Yeah, it's an interesting show. It's sort of more for people that are really into art, I would say, than the casual observer, because you got to dig through a lot of stuff to dig through some trash to find the treasures. Basically, it's a hodgepodge of a show, but the unifying theme is that it's from the last 50 years of them acquiring and collecting art, but stuff that's never been shown on the walls.
So it's a mixture of well-known artists and not so well-known artists.
Yeah.
But the basis being that it's new to the Art Institute.
It's never been on the walls at the Art Institute.
Yeah,
because I mean, I don't know if people know, but most of the stuff that museums have is just never sees the light of day. Like, you can make appointments to see stuff sometimes, like in the print and drawing room, where they'll just pull out stuff for you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make a special appointment for that to happen, but they have a limited amount of space in the galleries, obviously.
Yeah.
And they rotate it out. And
what were some of the more memorable things that you saw for this exhibit?
I really liked, there was a sketch for one of the Art Institute's most famous paintings, which is, was it Rainy Day Paris or something like that, by Gustave Caillebotte. It's a huge painting. Everybody would know. It's all these people on a rainy Paris street with umbrellas.
Right.
So there's a little kind of thumbnail sketch of it.
Oh, that's cool.
And instead of figures, there's these kind of squiggle marks where he's trying to work out where everybody would go.
Okay.
So I'm sure he just stood out on the street and kind of sketched it out because he needed real buildings before we went back to his studio and composed this gigantic painting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite thing. Yeah, it's been a couple of months now since I saw it, but it was interesting to see how. I mean, there's a few pieces in there that are just totally inept, and just because something is old doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah,
and I've got a little bit of a problem with, you know, and museums just do this. They're sort of formal and stiff masterpieces. Like, why is it a masterpiece?
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
Because it's old, because the museum has it.
Right,
it's a good question. I don't know.
Well, that's going.
It's always a question.
That's at the Art Institute, and that's going through the 19th of January.
Okay, yeah,
at the Art Institute through the 19th of January, and you can read Dimitri's piece at the Reader. And are you writing anything for the Reader?
Not for a little while. All these newspapers and periodicals that I've been writing for seem to be having financial difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the freelancers are first
right.
to go,
first
people
to go.
Like me. But I'm hoping to get back in there.
Okay.
And they tell me I will. So,
all right.
Hopefully.
Well, anyway, you can see Dimitri at Bernice's or Skylark.
Visit. And yeah, if you want to keep up with what I'm up to, I'm not on social media, but I have a weekly newsletter I send out on Mondays, and you can get that at tinyletter.com/Samaroff.
Okay. And yeah. and we have a link to your website on our Facebook
page.
Facebook.com/NickDShow. It's great to have you on, always.
Always a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dimitri. It's Dimitri Samaroff. We'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN.